Forever.
If she tastes blood, she's his. This week on the podcast, L.J. Smith's Night World Book 7, Huntress.
Welcome to Teen Creeps, the podcast that discusses YA pulp fiction. I'm one of your hosts, Lindsay Kate.
I'm another one of your hosts, Kelly Nugent.
And we are back to L.J. Smith's Night World with Huntress.
Huntress with Jez and
Jez, short for Jezebel.
Yeah. And
but
she
don't call her that.
You can never call her full name.
People in books and movies hate being called their real names. They have to be called their short, cool nicknames.
And she is kind of torn, but not really, between. Oh, God. What are
this
the guys'
like
names?
The Hugh? Barest of love triangles.
it's like a nothing.
Oh, was there a love triangle there? Oh, yeah. Somebody drew it in pencil and then they erased it. That's what this love triangle is.
When L.J. Smith is like, Jez couldn't help but love Hugh. I was like, really? Because like you're saying it, but I do not feel it.
I just didn't understand why it was in there. It's fine. It wasn't like, oh, this is so distracting.
No, it truly was. It was like inoffensive. I was just like, okay,
next to nothing. I guess it was just like a fun misdirect. I don't know. Yeah, that's kind of a fun misdirect. It's like, oh, and she's in love with an old soul. What? No, she does have a soulmate, and it's this person she knew all her life.
Which, like, second one, right? We knew that it was him. The second that she's like, I don't like him. I was like, okay.
Here we go. Mm-hmm. I was relieved when the soulmate thing did happen pretty relatively quickly.
Yeah.
Because if she was going to spend the book going like, I don't know what he is talking about. He doesn't love me. He hates me.
Yeah.
I was going to like throw the book across the room.
Wait, what's the name of the vampire boy?
Oh, you're probably not remembering it because it's another like medieval sounding Anglo-Saxon name.
It's like Morgad.
I'm saying Morgad in my head.
Yeah, I was saying
Morgead. I think that would be Morgad.
Isn't it crazy that like two books in a row, it's like the bad boy is either Mordred or Morgad?
That's very close.
It's a little uncanny if you ask me.
It's crazy. Oh my God.
I'm scared.
It's so coincidence. Oh my God. It's like it's that name that isn't the name at all is stalking us.
So it's so here, obsessed I'll, with us.
It's stop it. I no means no.
Yeah.
I will read the back of the book since I have the physical copy.
Mm-hmm. Please do.
Cool. Blood fever. Jess Redfern is unique. She's a vampire hunter who's half vampire. Raised in the Redfern family, the girl with fiery hair and silver blue eyes was the undisputed leader of a gang of vampire raiders. Then came the discovery that shattered her life. Her mother was a human. Now Jez hunts her former friends, protecting humans from the night world. But when Circle Daybreak sends her on a search for one of the legendary wild powers, capital W, capital P, Jez has to rejoin her old gang. They want her back, especially Morgad, the gorgeous green-eyed vampire who used to be her second in command. Jez wants to stay faithful to Hugh Davis, sort of, the human she loves. But Morgad swears he's her soulmate and he'll do anything to lure her back to the old ways. Not really. With danger and temptation all around, Jez finds herself irresistibly drawn to him. And she's afraid that if she tastes blood again, she'll become the evil huntress she once was. This is like kind of a very back of her mind fear.
Yeah, no,
this description is over dramatizing how the actual reading experience goes.
Cause truly I do usually really love these books. And I still think that like in general, I liked this book more than our average book that we read.
Yes. It's
one of my least favorite L.J. Smiths. I didn't really feel like there were very many stakes. Like it's not much happened. She was just kind of like floating. And I was grateful that like we did skip. Like, so when she's like, oh my God, I'm half human. Mm-hmm. And then smash like cut to her. Yeah. Her being like, wow, I'm living a human life. I was like, you know what? Honestly, like, thank you. Because like that would have been really just like boring.
Just like so tedious.
Yes, tedious is the word.
I don't need to watch you struggle.
No,
I get it.
No.
Also, yeah, so it was like, I was glad they got that over with. I was glad they got the soulmate thing over with. I was glad there wasn't a ton of back and forth with that love triangle with Hugh.
It was like literally a nothing love triangle. Like it was nothing. At first she's like, I love him. And he is kind of like, oh, I feel more for you. And she's like, you can't because you're an old soul. And he's like, okay. But they don't even say that to each other. Like, she thinks it.
Yeah, they never discuss this.
But yeah, and then she's like obsessing over Morgad for like the most of the book. And then there's like one moment where she's like, the way that Hugh is squatting on the ground is not a way that Morgad would squat on the ground, because Hugh is cute and compact. And I was like, okay.
like, wow, the two different ways these boys squat. I am torn.
I was just like, I guess. And she was like, was one. Just... Yeah. She's like, one has blonde hair, fine baby blonde hair, and one has dark brown hair, black hair, and green
one
eyes.
Is fair and one is dark.
Okay, classic. Lindsay, so you had the book with the OG cover.
I do. I bought all of the, I bought all original or as close to as possible LJ Smith books. The covers are
really
fantastic.
Good.
Even when they're bad, they're good.
And I got the like omnibus ones because I didn't have time. So I was not, you're not given... Like, usually it's just, like, generic girl picture. It's, like, those ones, like, the kind of bad covers.
Yeah.
The early 2000s.
They're terrible.
I actually kind of like the new covers that are just, like...
I do, too. They look like secret tomes.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I like those like ones. Symbols. It's just, like, very simple illustrations of, like,
cool.
An ankh. Yeah. And the Huntress one is really cool looking. It has like foxglove flower with like an ankh and like cool symbols, which like have nothing to do with the book, but that's fine.
Ooh.
So now you always knew what the two main characters looked like.
I did, unfortunately.
Based on.
Or the artist's interpretation of said main characters.
Yes. I did not expect Morgad to look quite like that is just what I'm thinking.
He looks like kind of a, how can I put this? It's like 80s Christian Slater interpretation of a 50s greaser.
Yes. And 42
years old. He is wearing an earring.
Yeah, yes, he looks very old. He's extremely older than her. I just didn't
like
even
half like sleepy eyed, dumb look on his face.
Yes, yes, and his hairline is traveling.
And she looks about 14.
She looks young. She's got a lot of hair, a lot of bright red hair,
as she is described.
Yes. So that's the thing, like her, I felt like she looked like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then him, I just also didn't know that he wore jackets like that. Like in my head, he was not dressed like that, which is weird because she's a motorcycle girl.
Yeah.
And she never wears all white.
No, that is, she in the beginning is described as wearing a leather jacket. But I guess after she discovers she's human, she's like, I guess I wear white now.
Yeah. No, she does like.
Because I'm pure.
She does have some interesting ideas about like what makes you human, pure. Because she's like, now that I'm human, my face is rounder because that's a human look. And I don't drink blood because if I do, I'm going to like be more vampire. And I don't want to be because that's evil.
Although it's funny. Don't you kind of feel like she went from one extreme to the other in like a
extremely
very
fast. Yes.
Like with no self-awareness, because she starts out life, she thinks she's a vampire. She was raised to think she's 100% vampire. And so she belongs to this gang of killers who just, they hunt down humans for sport, but bad humans, like skinheads.
Well, I don't know if we know that, because
it says
I think gangs. It's a coincidence. Yeah, it's a coincidence that right now, like the moment that we see, it's a skinhead gang.
I
feel like, just judging from how they act when she comes back to them, I'm like, oh, LJ just couldn't have our main character.
That's what I was about to say.
It's yeah, like, be that bad.
They're supposed to be killing all kinds of humans, but it's like, but on this night, she's killing a Nazi. So it's fine. But then she lets him go. Because rather than, like, he just starts like quietly weeping. And that's what triggers all of these memories of like her crying as a child, watching her mother die. And then she has the realization that she was a human child.
Yeah.
Which leads to the realization that she's only half vampire, half human. And then rather than go, wow, killing altogether is maybe wrong, she's like, I can't believe I was killing humans all these years. Well, time to kill my other people. And then she just starts killing night world creatures.
I know.
It's like, not the answer, like Jess.
She was like having a like American History X arc off page. Like, she was like straight up like committing hate crimes. And we just like, luckily the one that we witnessed was like, she was killing him because he was human, but he also happened to be a skinhead. So like, it was okay. It's like when Buffy like accidentally tries to kill Ted, or accidentally kills Ted, and then it's all okay because he happened to be a robot.
Yeah, because she was right about him.
Yeah, and she was right. But like, the whole time that like Faith accidentally killed a human, she's like, wow, Faith, you accidentally killed someone. And it's like, Buffy, you
conveniently forgetting.
Yeah, like, hello. It's like that. Like, she's very like, she was killing all these people because of what her gang of vampires acted like when she came back. I was like, oh, they were killing like anyone. And we just thankfully only witnessed a bigot chased.
Yeah.
And even then she spares him. So
another way, on a similar note, in which she seems very dumb is like, as soon as she finds out she's half human, she also assumes that they have no real feelings for anyone. But like, humans? All they were, no, the night, her gang.
Oh, yeah.
She's like, I'm going to go back and they're going to kill me immediately. And she gets back and they're like, Jez, you're back. We were so worried. And it didn't even occur to her that they would have missed her and wouldn't just kill her on sight, even though they don't know she's half human.
Yeah.
I understand why she thinks like, oh, as soon as they find out I'm half human, I'm dead. But they didn't know that. So why? It's like she forgot that they have feelings.
Well, and she knows how the gang works, right? Because she's like, oh, yeah, all I have to do is like say that I defeated Morgad in combat and then I get to be the leader again. And so she says that and everyone's like, great, yay. And she's like, huh, that's weird. But I'm like, but you knew that. That's why you did that.
Yes. But she like, I don't know. She's also, Morgad only ever seems good. He only ever seems like he cares about her. He's never trying to kill her. Even before they make their soulmate connection, he's just 100% like, I was so worried about you.
Oh, yeah. From the very beginning.
He just lets her win.
He like bought human body or vampire body shields her at one point, and she's like, get off of me. I'm like, he's like taking bullets for you, bitch.
I think she is probably the least likable main character in the series.
And it's not even because, I think it's because she's not enough of one thing, too. Because it's not, like, I just don't feel like she's as fleshed out as the other characters that we've
exactly.
seen.
Yes, exactly. She just seems, it's not like I hate her, and it's not like I don't like her because of her behavior. I don't like her because of her thinking. She just seems, like, totally clueless.
Yeah.
And she cannot get it. It's like she can't hold more than one idea at any given time.
Yes. And a big part of me too is like, why are you involving yourself? Like, I get that she's a wild power, but like the delusion that she has that she can like make any kind of difference in this big war, it just feels like it's a coincidence that she's a wild power. And therefore, like, do you know what I mean? Like, I feel like if she was my friend and was like, I'm going to get involved in this like huge war against like humans and vampires, I'd be like, I just feel like you are not special enough.
Well, like, he specifically asks her to, though. He yes. says that the whole Daybreak Council has decided she's the one to do it. So it's yes. not like she involves herself.
But it's just like her, maybe it's not even her, it's like maybe LJ Smith. Like, where I'm not saying she has to be, she's like straddling the line between Chosen One and like Mary Sue, where it's kind of like she's mm-hmm. not enough. Like, she has the bad qualities of each, which mm-hmm. to me, I just wasn't as interested because I was like, I just feel like you're kind of just floating through this and you're not even really making that.
Yeah. It's like, you I'm know? A perfect fighter who's great at everything. And
yeah.
I also have no idea what's going on.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very like I'm so in control, except for when like I'm not in control.
Mm-hmm.
Because also, like, the thing with the little girl who they find out is, like, one of the oldest souls in the world or something.
Oh, yeah, because so, there's this principle, like, there are not all humans get reincarnated, but some of them do. They're called old souls. And there are also, on top of that, wakened old souls who are aware of all of their other lives. Hugh is one of these. And then this little girl who they think is a wild power, who's like meant to save the world, just turns out to be a super old soul.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So they're like, she's basically like, okay, let's go through really quick what happens in this book. So she is like fighting, she's like queen of killing humans. And then she's like, oh no, I'm having these memories. I guess I'm half human, which that was the other thing to me. Like, it felt a little arbitrary that like that was the thing that like threw her.
I agree. I don't know why, like, watching what? A skinhead weep suddenly recalled memories of her own crying, because I feel like she would have seen like a lot of weeping before this.
Yeah. Yeah. I think she would have been bathing in weeping. So she's like, oh, I'm half human. I'm remembering this now because this guy is like quietly weeping in front of me. Yeah. And she's like, I have to go. And then we cut to her being like, I'm living a human life. And no one Uncle is Brandon, happy. What am I? No one's happy with her as a pretend human.
Mm-hmm. She goes back and she finds her mother's brother, which I thought it was very funny that all of a sudden she's like, yep. And then I went and I found my mom's bro.
Yeah. And also I just liked the, like, it's not laziness. I think it's like conscious divvying up of energy by LJ Smith as a writer, where she's like, I'm just not going to waste my energy on shit that's not going to pay off. So her being like, yeah, I just don't really go to school, which is like, great. I don't need to see scenes of her at school. Uh-huh. We don't need to see that. And then there was like another one. What was it? Where she's like, there's something else like with her family. I think, oh, it was just like finding them and all that. It's like, nope, now I just live here and like all that stuff is behind us. And
which truly I am fine with.
No, same. I was fine with both of those, like not seeing her at school, not seeing this. Like, great. I just like seeing that choice by LJ Smith to be like, I don't want to write about that, so I won't. Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to.
It's refreshing.
Yeah. I don't need to see you struggle through this.
No, exactly. I'm bored. Like, we can tell when someone doesn't like what they're writing, and like, we've read books like that where someone's like, what a drag, and we can feel it.
Mm-hmm.
So it was nice to see her be like,
thank you for sparing us.
Yeah. But her family's all pissed at her because they're like, we think you're a normal human girl, but you keep disappearing at all hours and you don't come home until 10 p.m.
Oh,
and you don't go to school.
Oh my God. I remembered my absolute favorite line of the book and probably my new go-to insult to anyone now.
Okay.
But continue. You're talking about, and I'll jump in when you get there.
Okay. So, and like weirdly, like her cousin is like such a busybody.
Mm-hmm. Her cousin Claire, who but here's the thing is. Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
No, say the thing.
Oh, just that we've read enough. I feel like LJ Smith and Kirsten White do this similar thing, which I actually prefer because it means that they're like feminist and not pieces of shit, where it's like this girl is like being really fucking annoying. And then you like find out their reasoning and you're like, ah, okay. Instead of it being like girls versus girls and aren't girls catty and aren't they this? Yes. It's like, oh, no. Like, I get why you were distrustful of this character and all that.
Mm-hmm. So my favorite moment of the book, my favorite line of the book, my favorite line ever, and the insults I will throw at anyone for the rest of time if I want them to get off my back. So they're fighting. Claire is like, why don't you have to follow the rules? And I do have to follow the rules. And Jez goes, why don't you go work on your webpage, Claire?
I thought that was so fucking funny. Go work on your webpage.
Why don't you go work on your webpage, Claire? And web is spelled with a capital W.
It's so good.
She reached the door of her bedroom. Instead of yelling at her cousin, she simply half turned and said, why don't you go work on your webpage, Claire? Then she opened the door and glanced inside, and there's like a ghoul there.
Yeah, work on your web page. It's so perfect.
Also, the fact that her name is Claire somehow is really perfect as well.
No, it is. It's so a really funny. Good name, and the character is like very, like, well actualized.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, why don't you go work on your web page, Claire? It's just so dismissive.
So dismissive. But, yes.
Yeah, it's so good. But Claire does not, and instead is just like listening outside the door and is like, what are you doing in there? While she's fighting with this ghoul. And she's like, I'm looking for a ruler.
Oh.
And she's like, God, what is like, that punch, smell?
Punch. Yeah.
It was very good.
I'm looking for a ruler. She's like literally fighting a dark force of evil, a human who like was given enough blood to keep alive but not enough blood to become a vampire, and they're just like
they're literally rotting.
She's fighting him in her room, knocking into things. They're like, what's going on in there? I'm looking for a ruler.
Here's
some good lines.
Yeah, she's got some good ones. And LJ Smith is funny. She writes funny her characters are funny when she wants them to be. But yeah, they're like, she's like, that doesn't sound like finding a ruler to me. And I mean, and when she explains why she's been so mean to Jez, when Claire does, you're like, yeah, I mean, it is annoying. It would be annoying if I were Claire and my parents were letting Jez just like get away with murder and like I'm have to be perfect all the time. That mm-hmm. sucks.
Yeah.
And like she's just beautiful and, you know, she's half vampire. She's like otherworldly.
Mm-hmm. And Claire can sense this. And so it is very frustrating to sense something going on and not being able to like put your finger on it.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're just like, why? Why do they treat you better than me? You know?
Mm-hmm.
And then so they're like, so finally she disposes of the ghoul. She like drops it out the window. Oh my God.
She finds her ruler.
She does find her ruler. And she's like, fuck, I don't know how to hide Hugh. So she just like puts a bunch of blankets on him and clothes, and then opens the door and is like, it's fine. What's happening? And Claire's like, what is that smell? Because it's a rotting body was in there. Like the mm-hmm. ghoul was rotting. Mm-hmm. So it smells like a decomposing body.
Not Claire. Also, Jez herself is pretty ripe, which she admits to us.
Well, because she was like, as she was fighting the ghoul, like pieces of the ghoul were coming off onto her. So it's like on her. So she's like, it is me. I smell bad.
The smell was me all along.
You know, it's just like Claire and her and the human part of Jez's family, like, just don't understand her. She keeps running off to try and because then later Hugh is like, guess what? There's going to be a big war. There's this big prophecy. There's these wild powers, and the vampires that are not part of Circle Daybreak, which we know are the ones that promote peace between the different factions. They want to destroy the wild powers so that way, because those are the only things that could stand to stop, like, the next thing that's going to destroy all the humans. And it'll be, like, eternal night for the vampires or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, but we need your help because, like, you have to go deal it. And she's like, fuck. Because they're like, you know what? Morgad has found a wild power, and the only person that we know that can get to him is you. So you got to go back and pretend that you want to be his friend and try and get that info out of him. So she goes back. And it's weird to me that they're having their soulmate moment then.
I thought that too. And here's my inner justification. And it might get said in the book, but I don't think so. Which is that she hasn't been drinking blood. And so now she's more human. And maybe that needed to
It was supposed to be between first. Him and a human version of her. It might be like a puberty thing.
It might be a puberty thing. It might just be timing.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't supposed to happen till now. But I had the same thought. I was like, haven't you known each other since you were children?
Yeah.
I thought it was an immediate thing, but.
Me too. And also, like, they've touched each other because we know because he protects her in the first scene of the book.
Mm-hmm.
But whatever. So they start having a fight.
We accept it.
It's fine. It's not worth losing sleep
over. It's not worth it.
Lindsay, it's not worth it.
It's not
worth
it. Let it go.
That's like the classic move of somebody that's like seeing two guys in a 7-Eleven fight where you're like, it's not worth it, man.
Yeah.
Walk away.
Come on, man.
Come on, walk away.
Hey, man, he's not worth it. You're better than that.
So they're, you know, experiencing their soulmate thing because they've started fighting. Because she's like, I want to take you down because I want to be leader again. And he's like, I have a special power. And is he one of the wild powers? I did not understand this.
No. Wait, what?
So what is the thing that he does to her? What is that?
Oh, he has like telepathy and it can be kind of like used as a weapon.
But how come he can do it? I guess he's just is strong enough.
Whereas she hasn't been drinking blood. And so she can't even do...
Right.
She can't even speak with telepathically. She can't even speak telepathically.
Telepathically. Yeah. Oh, and also because he's like, I could teach you because like intrinsically like we're stronger, but like the other vampires are not strong enough to learn it or something like that. Mm-hmm. I remember him saying that and she was like, what?
Well, that's crazy that I guess I am pretty strong.
I guess I'm pretty strong if you think about it.
I guess if I think about it, I have freckles, long brown hair.
And he's like, cool, everyone's come back. All the other vampires come in and they're like, yay, you're back. And she's like, I was sent by the Redfern family because I am a Redfern. Because she is half. And everyone's like, okay. And they're like, let's go get the wild power. Because he had found the wild power. He had shown, what's her name? Jez, the news footage of the wild power, which is this little girl. And she remembers watching it on the news as well. And there's this little girl. And it was her and Claire watching it. And there's this little girl who's like in a fire. And then all of a sudden, like this blue fire comes out and stops the fire. So they're like, oh, it's the little girl. She has that power. So we're going to test her. They capture her. They put fire around her and she can't make it stop.
This was pretty bad.
Yeah.
Like, here's my test. I'm brilliant. We'll light her on fire and then she'll probably stop it.
It was a but pretty crazy stupid plan.
Is that why do the and this is what I mean by like the second she gets back, we only ever see Morgad be good.
Yeah.
He's not like, oh, well, let her burn. He wants to save her too.
Yeah, and he even scolds the rest of them because they were like, let's just let her die. And he's like, no, we don't kill kids. And I was like, what? Since so he's always been fine. And she's like, if he finds out that I'm half human, he'll kill me. But I'm like, girl, why?
Will he?
Yeah.
I'm not seeing that.
I don't see it. Maybe she's just projecting her own racism onto him.
Maybe. Self-hating vampire.
Yeah.
I don't understand why she... It needs to be said either, like, she just, like, flipped and was, like, just so sure that her being half-human was going to make him hate her. Or, like, he needed to have some shift. Yeah. Like, with Ash... He's yeah. like all bad, and then he touches Mary Lynette, and then he's mm-hmm. he has to like make amends. But no, Morgad mm-hmm. is just like, yeah, I've pretty much always been good. At no point do I ever like step out of line, even though when she sees into his memories, he's like, I hate humans because they take care of their children and I never got taken care of.
Yeah. And I just didn't really feel any chemistry between them. Like, more chemistry for sure than like most of the books we read, but for LJ Smith, not very much. Cause like for other stories of hers, it's always like white hot chemistry. This was just kind of medium. I was like, I believe it, but I'm not, mm-hmm. you know, excited to see what happens with these two. I'm just kind of like, okay.
Yeah, I see that.
I mean, maybe it's just like where I am mentally or something that I'm like dead inside.
I know.
I mean, I am pretty dead inside.
I mean, you are dead inside, but I don't know if that is related exactly, per se.
Correlation, not causation.
Yes, exactly. I think it's that the book had to split its time between them being soulmates, her coming to terms with her mixed... forgot words. Her mixed status or whatever.
Yeah.
And the Wild Powers story. Because this is the first, or like, this is a huge step forward in the mythology of why all of a sudden mm-hmm. Night Worlds and Human Worlds are soulmates again.
Yes, we're finally getting the why.
Yes, and it's like, yes. Basically the titans of this mythology are waking up after... something like 30,000 years of being out of power, because it went 10,000 years of the shit. What are they called? The Lamia? Shapeshifters.
Oh, right.
10,000 years of the shapeshifters being in power. Then there's some sort of like world apocalypse event, like a fire. There's like a big fire all over the world. Mm-hmm. And they go into hibernation. Then for 10,000 years, the witches rule. Then there's an ice age and they go underground. And then there is the vampire rule. So I guess there's never werewolf rule.
Right.
I forget. And then something happens there. And then it's humans rule. I don't know why I can't remember the events that happened. And then it's a human rule for 10,000 years. It's coming to an end. The millennium is 2 years away, and so everything is starting to shift again.
Mm-hmm.
And so then all of Night World is like, great, let's eradicate the humans. Being the lesser species has not been fun.
Yeah.
We don't like this anymore. So now it's just going to be like Night World rule, and they don't care how apocalyptic things are going to get.
Yeah.
And there's going to be one wild power from each of the species. In this book, we find out it's a human, turns out to be Jez. For a hot second, we think it's Iona, the little girl who gets set on fire. Then we think it's Claire. And then it turns out it's Jez. And there's probably then going to be like a werewolf, a vampire, and then a witch.
Yeah.
Wild power.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And
so I think because it's like taken up with three different things, we can't really get the Jez and Morgad heat.
Also, I think there's another, I was thinking about it and I was like, oh, you know what it might also be? It's that usually in these books, they're like, we can't be together because of a valid reason.
Mm-hmm.
And for this, she keeps being like, no, I can't love Morgad because I can't. And you're like, but it.
Well, it's because she's half human, but this goes back to the Morgad only seems good problem.
Yeah, which that's the problem because mm-hmm. she's like, because he won't like me. And it's like, but he hasn't seemed like he wouldn't.
Yeah, he's done nothing to suggest he would kill you. Nothing.
Right. He's not Ash. Ash was evil.
Yeah.
And so I think it's tough because like, Morgad doesn't really seem like a fully fleshed out character like Ash was or like, mm-hmm. Just like any of the other male characters in these stories. He just seems kind of like he's there.
I did feel for him when we were getting all of the memories, but he's not very, he doesn't have much personality.
No. And maybe it's just that, I mean, she writes so many of these books, you just start to run out of personalities. I get it. Look, she's writing so many.
I haven't written a whole series. That seems hard.
Yeah, it seems really hard. And we're on what, book 7?
And this does not get finished, which is upsetting.
Yeah. Is the end book 9? Is like not end, but like what she's finished? Witchlight?
I don't know. Witchlight, I imagine, is where it leaves off and that it's not finished. Because yeah, otherwise, okay, so then, I don't know why it would be in like printed in my book. And then there was talk that she was going to publish it herself.
Huh.
And then that never happened, I believe.
Why?
Who knows? Maybe she just like, you know, she was out of practice. It just didn't happen.
Yeah.
Book 10 is Strange Fate. However, what is the status? Strange Fate. Mm. Book 10, not yet published, reportedly follows a 16-year-old girl named Sarah Strange who has mysterious dreams of Nightworld inhabitants, blah, blah, blah. This is not going to happen. On January 22nd, 2012, LJ Smith claimed at her website under the Burning Fan Questions section shows the endgame for nearly all the main characters you have seen in the Nightworld series as Ash helps them. It tells of Sarah Strange and her two soulmates, one of whom is the last wild power. So yeah, she just must never have written it.
Mm.
What's going on her official website?
Yeah, I'm looking.
Happy holidays, meet my new kitties. All right. Is this legit new? Because it is the holidays. I'm not authorized to view this resource, excuse me. I can't see the blog unless I create an account. Tricky, tricky.
I'm sorry. What? Really? Okay, wait, hold on. L. Jane Smith, official site. Happy holidays. Meet my new kitties. Have an absolutely fabulous holiday on my Facebook. What? Is this real? This website could stand to be better.
On her Twitter account, I think this might be a coincidence because she wrote... there's a tweet from July 2018 that's just a link to a fandom article. July 9th, 2018, link to a fandom article. And then December 22nd, 2015, season's greetings to all. Please see my happy holidays post with new pictures and let it snow or rain in California. So I think by pure coincidence, we are looking at a happy holidays from 2015.
Yeah, I think that's what we're looking at. It just happens to be around in December.
Mm-hmm.
Because the most recent thing is the word choice and not so subtle sexism thing from 14 December 2015. What?
Any fandom pages she linked to? Neither of them are there. So yeah, there's not an update. It's from 2015. That's so weird that we're visiting the site also around the holidays.
Yeah.
No update.
I wonder what's happening with her.
They're making Nightworld movies or shows, aren't they?
Are they? I mean, they did Vampire Diaries.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think she's rich?
No. She's probably well off at this point because they made a series of it, but no.
No.
I mean, richer than me.
Right.
I think it's hard to be rich nowadays is what I mean.
It is hard to be rich nowadays.
I'm just saying the bar is very high. Oh, what is this? A lot
Heart
of Money.
Of Valor. I'm just looking at her other books that she's written.
I thought there was news.
Not that I'm seeing. Forbidden Game was so good, dude. Yeah, I'm just seeing.
They're making Forbidden Game, not Night World.
They are? Yeah. Oh my God. Oh. Whoa. Have we read Dark Visions, The Passion? What's that?
Dark Visions sounds so familiar. Dark
Visions Volume 3.
Oh, it's another series?
Mm-hmm.
Ew. Yeah, fucking Greg Berlanti is adapting it. That motherfucker does everything.
He gets his paws on everything. I'm tired of it.
When is my time? Constantly, it's down to me or Greg Berlanti, and he keeps getting it.
He's getting them. He's doing all that DC stuff.
Everything.
Let me see here. Yeah. Huh. I'm looking at her books.
He did, if I'm not mistaken, The Queen's Gambit.
Huh?
Like fucking everything.
Wow. Get maybe that money.
Or maybe it was Saved by the Bell. I don't know. One of the things I've watched recently.
Did you like The Queen's Gambit?
I thought it was fine. I thought she's like one of the most selfish people I've ever met.
The character? I haven't seen it.
Yeah, it was fine.
I was like really interested in like what it must be like because I was seeing like such variance in people's opinions on it. Like I saw, you know, one person being like, you know, or like multiple people being like The Queen's Gambit is tremendous. To people being like, I could not watch past episode 3. So I'm curious as to what it's like. I need to watch it and form my opinion.
Yeah, it's like fine.
Yeah. I figured it was probably fine. It's so interesting when people hate a show or something like it's sleeping with their husband. it's like this very personal hate where I'm like, you can calm down.
I'm sure that I could think of a show that's like that for me, but maybe it was Saved by the Bell.
That you felt hatred?
No. Jumped back to Greg Berlanti like an idiot. Okay. I can't remember what surprising thing I saw his name attached to. But yeah, I'm sure there are shows like that that I absolutely hate, but not Queen's Gambit. It's just it's harmless.
Yeah.
It just does that thing where it's like, I'm a woman and I'm an alcoholic. And so I like, my friend Connie Shin put this perfectly on Twitter. She was like, what happens when male writers want to portray like a messed up female? And it's just her in her underwear in her apartment looking perfect and hot.
No. That's not what it is, honey. Mm-mm. It's like looking we like look a
as
fucking
ugly as anyone.
Rock golem, like like laying on your side, like staring at the fucking wall, dehydrated and like like not good. No. It's not cute. It's not cute. Like not you cute. Look like you smell bad, you know?
Because you do.
Because you do. You smell tremendous.
And it's just bad. She's a Mary Sue.
Mm-hmm.
Where just everybody loves her and wants to help her all the time. All she does is take and take and take.
Yeah.
Which is fine. It's just that the show doesn't seem to understand that she's selfish.
Yeah. There are shows like, that have selfish characters that it's fine because you're like,
that character's selfish.
We all see it.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I'm thinking of a show that I do hate, but I don't want to say it because I'm trying to have a career in this world. So. Mm-hmm. Like I would, you know, I would audition for a role on this show, even though.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not it doesn't even have a place for searching me. My mind for it.
I have one that I'm like, I cringe when I see it. I just typed it into the chat. This is maybe mean to the listeners because I feel like people are. Well, you know what? I'm trying to protect my career.
I don't think it's mean.
But I think,
yeah,
you know
I
what?
Hate that show. That is a show I like am angry at. Like it slept with my husband.
Yes. As me as well.
It. I'm like, why? Who sees the appeal of this?
Right. Right.
There's another one that I thought I hated, but it's fine.
Oh my God. What is it?
I'll put it in the chat.
Yeah. Put it in the chat. You guys think, oh yeah, I agree. Yeah. I agree. I thought I hated it, but then I was like, you know what? Actually.
Live your life.
Live your life. And I'm going to reserve my hatred for the first show that we wrote down.
Yeah, because that's what deserves it. You don't deserve my ire. Like, it's just maybe like a little more juvenile than I was hoping.
Yeah.
Whereas this other show is like an affront to my sense of humor, mm-hmm. to my...
Bleep.
Too close.
It also like has someone of not that ethnicity.
Not that heritage.
That heritage doing a kind of caricature of someone of that heritage, which to me, I'm like, you didn't need to take that role.
Uh-huh. It's like all the worst characteristics of this creator's writing.
Yes.
Rather than the best.
Yes.
And too many awards. Too many awards. An unfair number of awards.
Yes.
An unwarranted number of awards for this show.
You know what it is? Mm-hmm. You know what it is? Okay, I'm going to tell you something.
Yes.
When people are like...
just going to slowly give this away?
No. When people are like, I love this show, I don't think anything negative of that person for telling me. I think, oh, you're happier than me in your life. Like, things don't bother mm-hmm. you as much. Like, mm-hmm. you're not as jaded. Like, you have some, like, joie de vivre. Like, your life is just easier just due to your mentality than mine is, because I just could never like that.
Yeah.
Because I'm too critical.
Yeah. That makes sense. I envy the openness. Right. I can't get past myself enough to like this show.
Okay, I'm about to say something that's like really bitchy.
Go for
it. But it's like the same as like when I see my cat that just like sleeps all day. And I'm like, I wish I had that simple of a mind. Like, I wish that things weren't so complicated
and
stormy in my brain and bad.
Yeah.
And that I could just enjoy something like that. Yeah. I wish.
And so this maybe is like a me problem.
It is a me problem.
Basically anything that exists that I don't like, then that means it's not for me.
Right.
But did this show sleep with my husband? Yes. And so I'm a little mad.
Here's what another problem is, right? I'm like, it's not for me. But then there's a lot of people that are like, but it should be for you because of your demographic. It is like, for you.
You can't tell me my demographic.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think it like was okay. Show, and I
should I bleep
actively the, dislike it?
Should I bleep what
the thing
it's about?
That you said? Yeah.
Okay.
You'll have to go back and bleep the thing that you said. Mm-hmm. That like is like dangerously giving it away.
Yeah. Because listen, we're trying to work in this industry.
You have to
be careful.
I'll be fake online.
I'll be fake. I'll be fake.
That's the thing, is I'm not fake, but I will omit many of my opinions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. Actually, I'm not going to be fake where, like, let's say, like, someone that, like, let's imagine, right, that someone that you and I know but we don't like.
Mm-hmm. Already got in my mind.
Yeah, goes, okay, ooh, bleep, bleep, bleep.
What? I don't, that's too close. It's too revealing.
It's too revealing
that I said gender.
Okay, but let's just say that this person uh-huh. gets cast in something, right?
Okay.
Let's just imagine.
Yes.
I don't think I would like be like, congrats to my best boo. I always knew that you were talented. You know, when we see a lot of people do that shit. So like, we're not fake, but we're not going to air our dirty laundry on Twitter.
I'm not going to be, look, do we have a podcast where we critique people's work? Yes.
Absolutely.
But not when it could cost us a job, except mm-mm. that absolutely R.L. Stine might never want me working on a show of his, which I respect.
You know what?
I've said some harsh things.
It's fully within his right to be like, you know what? I want to surround myself with positivity.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And God bless.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
I don't even know where we
I don't even
were.
Know how I truly well,
I got
I
so
truly,
lost. So lost.
So lost.
Oh, Greg Berlanti is doing Forbidden Game. That's how this started.
You know what? Good for him. Fine. Whatever.
Yeah. Oh, and the show that I wouldn't have expected he was a part of was The Flight Attendant with Kaley Cuoco.
Oh, I did not expect that.
Which I'm enjoying.
I didn't watch it yet, though.
It is another, like, I'm a sexy woman and the way I messed up is I drink a lot and I have a lot of sex with hot men.
Mm-hmm.
But she's also, like, not as put together and glamorous.
Okay.
I mean, it's Kaley Cuoco, so she's still gorgeous, but...
I mean, she can't help that part.
She can't help
But at least part. She's not in, like, perfectly beautiful lingerie, like,
yeah,
laying
at
out.
At least she doesn't look like a, like, 60s Midge doll.
She doesn't look like a fucking, like, Chanel No. 5 ad.
Yes, exactly.
Which is, like...
So yeah, we don't know if we will ever get a Finish Tonight World. Probably not. If she hasn't done it by now, the last time she talked on her blog was 2015. I don't have high hopes.
Is she like Richard Simmonsing us? Like, is she disappeared? Is she around? Is she talking? Is she doing things since 2015? Huh?
Is elder abuse happening?
Yeah. Are we worried about that? I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know how old she is.
She's 55. 56.
Okay. That took not quite there.
Not quite. But yeah, that's the book.
Yeah, so it turns out Jez is the wild power. She's able to defend herself from Lily Redfern because of it. And na-na.
Yeah, because there isn't even really a big fight.
It's a pretty small fight.
It's small. And she does her wild power thing. Because she didn't realize it was her. Because basically, like, you have to spill blood before doing it. And so she does. Because the first time with the little girl, she was watching it on TV. And I guess the location doesn't matter. And she was being scratched by Claire because Claire was, like, freaking out and holding her really tight. And then the other time, she had been scratched. And then...
she was watching Iona in the burning building.
No, she didn't do it that time.
She did do it that time.
No. Oh, Iona jumps off. Yeah.
Sorry. I meant the first time on the news.
Oh, yeah.
I think I spaced. Sorry.
And then the second one was, the train where she and Claire were stuck on the rails and she had gotten scraped. So she was bleeding then. And then she was bleeding at the end when they all get captured by the Red Ferns and does the whole thing. And
fantasy and like, books dot, dot, dot. Love the concept of blood magic.
They love it.
Everybody's is a little bit different, but it does make sense. Like, blood and being cut is such an intense sight and feeling. Well,
and it's such a primordial, like, I'm giving of me.
Yeah.
To
it gets
this
back
thing.
To the vampire.
Yeah.
Blood is life. Blood is death.
Yeah.
But fantasy books love blood magic.
They do. So, yeah, that's...
Sorry to peter out, guys, but... that is sort of, yeah, the feeling I was left with.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's totally worth reading. Still better than like most of the books we read for the show.
Yeah. It's just the L.J. Smith.
Good writing.
Bar is higher.
Yes. Particularly like in this series alone, let alone in general.
It's so interesting that like I had never heard of the Night World books. I had never heard of L.J. Smith.
I hadn't either. Why? How did this happen?
And these are so
how did this
what
happen?
We would have loved.
It makes no sense. I'm over here reading Christopher Pike Last Vampire. Never even heard of L.J. Smith. That's really weird.
Yeah. And then even when the Vampire Diaries came out, I didn't even know.
Yeah. No idea.
But they're so like written for us, which is very funny.
It's really weird.
But thank you, everybody, for listening. We really appreciate it. A special thank you to our Patreon listeners. You can check that out at patreon.com/teencreeps. We've got a lot of extra stuff for you. Also, if you have not received your stickers, check your Patreon messages because I've sent out a bunch of messages to some people. It's just that your address is not in the system. So check that.
Yeah, because everybody who gives $5 and above gets a sticker when they join.
Mm-hmm. So let me know. Update the mailing address out there. And a special thank you to our Patreon producers. You guys give very generously, and we appreciate that.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Amanda Dangle.
Ann Dwyer.
Ashley Fritz.
Brian Petty II.
Claire Moore.
Courtney McPhail.
Danielle Lamana.
Danny.
Emily Pooley.
Gabriela Santiago.
Gianna Fernandez.
Grace Armstrong.
Jeremy Kronk.
Jessica Smith Harper.
Jonathan Venable.
Jordan Colwick.
Karen Lewis.
Kat Miller.
Katie Lilly.
Katie Olsner.
Kelly Burns.
Chris Darina.
Landry Desmond.
Laura Hooper.
Lonnie Martin.
Luke Bartek.
Mandalay Wolschlager.
Lindsay's best friend from high school, Marcy Raquel Blackwell.
Marco Pavlicic.
Melody.
Megan Lozier.
Micah Yunus.
Miguel Camacho.
Miranda Hester.
Molly Marks.
Oscar Gallegos.
Randy Klett.
Rashad Black.
Rogue Kalahua.
Saoirse Descaro.
Sarah.
Sarah Jaggers.
Sarah Nichelle.
Sarah Wallen.
Sasha Gibson.
Sydney Bollinger.
Tristan Buckner.
Victoria Beck.
Victoria Valdez.
And Wendy Bartos. Thank you.
Thank you so much. We really appreciate you guys. Next week, we are reading. Silent Night 3 by R.L. Stein.
Yeah.
Heck yeah.
It's going to be great. Can't wait to see how our main character has reverted again to her evil ways. And
indeed, Reva.
Reva, we stan Reva, you bitch.
You big old
no
bitch.
No choice. Mm-hmm. Yeah, really, just next level. So thank you so much, everybody. We really appreciate all of you. You can follow us on everything at Teen Creeps Pod.
And we'll see you next week. Wear a mask.
I think that's it.
Stay at home. Keep it creepy.
Forever. This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Kelly Nugent, Lindsay Kaytai, Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram at Forever Dog Team, and liking our page on Facebook.